Nanda Kumara Vande Krishna Nanda Kumara
Vande Krishna Nanda Kumara
Nanda Kumara Mohana Rupa
Nanda Kumara Mohana Rupa
Nanda Kumara Mohana Rupa Mohana Rupa Madana Gopala
Mohana Rupa Madana
Gopala
Mohana Rupa Madana Gopala
Jaya Jaya Deva Hari Jaya Jaya Deva Hari
Jaya Jaya Deva Hari
Jaya Prabhu Dina Dayala Hari
Jaya Prabhu Dina Dayala Hari
Jaya Prabhu Dina Dayala Hari Govinda Hari Gopala Hari
Govinda Hari Gopala Hari
Govinda Hari Gopala Hari Govinda Hari Gopala Hari
Govinda Hari Gopala Hari
Balarama Hari Jayo Krishna Hari
Balarama Hari Jayo Krishna Hari
Jaya Rama Hari Jayo Krishna Hari Jaya Jaya Deva Hari
Jaya Jaya Deva Hari
Jaya Jaya Deva Hari
Jaya Jaya Deva Hari
Jai Sakshi Nandana Gaura Hari Jai Sakshi Nandana Gaura Hari Govinda Hari Gopala Hari
Govinda Hari Gopala Hari
Govinda Hari Gopala Hari
Govinda Hari Gopala Hari
Jaya Rama Hari Jaya Krishna Hari
Jaya Rama Hari Jaya Krishna Hari
Jaya Rama Hari Jaya Krishna Hari
Jai Sakshi Nandana Gaura Hare
Hey Jai Sakshi Nandana Gaura Hare
Govinda Hari Gopala Hare
Govinda Hari Gopala Hare
Govinda Hari Gopala Hari
Govinda Hari Gopala Hari. Jaya Jaya Deva Hari. Jaya Jaya Deva Hari. Jaya Prabhu Dina Dayala Hari. Jaya Prabhu Dina Dayala Hari. Vande Krishna Nanda Kumara. Vande Krishna Nanda Kumara. Nanda Kumara Mohana Rupa. Nanda Kumara Mohana Rupa. Mohana Rupa Madana Gopala. Mohana Rupa Madana Gopala. Jaya Jaya Deva Hari. Jaya Jaya Deva Hari. Jaya Prabhu Dina Dayala Hari. Vande Krishna Nanda Kumara. Vande Krishna Nanda Kumara.
Hare Krishna. Can everyone hear? I cannot hear on that side. Can you hear now? Arivo. Is everyone comfortable? By Lord Sri Krishna's arrangement, we are in a most perfect setting to celebrate today's occasion. We are in the forest of Brihadban, or Mahavan. This is the place Nanda Maharaj and Gopas had their cowherd community, and Krishna spent the first 3 years and 4 months of his pastimes. Gokula means the place where the cows are protected. Goloka is planet of cows. And where we are sitting now is a goshala, especially for these Brijavasi cows. In fact, you will see every few feet where you're sitting, there's a stick of wood coming out of the ground. That's actually the place they tie the cows when they milk them every day. It is said that Krishna, Balaram and Gopas when they would come home from the pasture grounds, they were very, very beautiful, because their hair and all the limbs of their beautiful bodies was ornamented by the dust raised from the hoods of the calves and cows. We are now sitting specifically and directly in the thousands and thousands of hoofprint dust of the calves of Sri Vrindavan Dham. According to Puranas, as well as our Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and our beloved Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada, also explained that it was right here, where we are sitting, Mahavan, that the original Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared in this world. It is also the appearance place of Lord Sri Baladev. With your permission, we will make some effort to explain these beautiful stories. Some of the few pastimes out of the ocean of millions and millions and millions of pastimes that took place here. It is said in the scriptures that even Ananta Shesha, with his thousand mouths, for the entire time of the cosmic creation, he cannot extol the pastimes that Krishna performs in even one day. The eternal pastimes of Krishna are taking place right here as we are sitting. And for those who have pure hearts, the holy Dham of Sri Mahavan reveals those pastimes to our hearts. Taking the dust of the feet of our Guru Dev, Srila Prabhupada, upon our heads, we will try to explain the significance of Gokul Mahavan. One of the great crown jewels of the Brishni dynasty was Devamita. He was benevolent, compassionate, heroic, a very, very, very great soul who loved everyone and everyone loved him. Devamita married two wives. One was a Kshatriya and one was Vaishya. From the Kshatriya wife, he had a son of the name Surasena. Devamita resided in Mathura. And Surasena was very, very, very noble, virtuous soul. Together he resided with his father in Mathura. The son of Surasena is Vasudev. From Devamita's Vaishya wife, he had a son of the name Parjanya. This Parjanya was such an ocean of good qualities. Sri Jiva Goswami describes that from the very beginning of his life, at every moment, he was worshipping Lord Hari. He was charitable, as glorious as Prahlad, as truthful as Dhruva, as magnificent, magnanimous as Prithu Maharaj. To his enemies, he was like Bhishma. to his friends. He was like Lord Shiva. He was as exalted as Lord Brahma. And he was effulgent like Lord Hari. Because his mother was from the Vaishya community, by his own spontaneous attraction, he decided to live the life of a Vaishya. And he came to this very place we are sitting today, Brihadvan, or Mahavan. He was such an ocean of the jewels of good qualities that all the cowherd communities around here, they loved him. They wanted to be under his protection. They wanted to surrender to him. So they all spontaneously and unanimously made him the king of all the gopas. Parjanya had 5 children. Each one of them, magnificent personalities, who were the very, very embodiments of divine love. The eldest son was Upananda. The next son was Abhinanda. Nanda, Sunanda, and Nandan. These 5 children, they grew up and literally captured everyone's hearts. Now, of the 5, the middle son, whose name was Nanda, he was the most glorious. He was very, very gentle, affectionate to everyone. There wasn't even the slightest tinge of envy in his heart. He treated everyone equally with love. His juniors, his seniors, his brothers, his relatives, even strangers. Such a loving soul. There was a cowherd man in this community named Sumukha, who had a daughter who was an ocean of love. Her name was Yashoda. Yashoda means one who increases the fame and the prosperity wherever she may be. From her appearance here in Mahavan, Brajbhumi, everything began to prosper. Sumukha offered the hand of Yashoda to Nanda Maharaj in marriage. They lived together very peacefully in this place. Parjanya had a desire to renounce the world and coronate his eldest son, Upananda, as the king of Braja. So he told Upananda that we should have an official ceremony. You call Vasudev and you call Gargamuni and the various other great sages and Brahmins, and we will have the ceremony to coronate you as king. So everyone assembled here in Mahavan for this glorious occasion. When Parjanya wanted to give the crown of Brajbhumi to Upananda, Upananda went over and embraced his younger brother, Nanda Maharaj, and expressed that I want to crown him as the king of Braja. Everyone loves him so dearly. But Nanda Maharaj was very shy. He refused to accept such a position in the presence of his elder brothers. He withdrew. But Upananda, with folded hands, he told Nanda Maharaj, my giving you this crown is not a whimsical thing. I have very, very carefully thought about this for a long time. Nanda Maharaj, you are an ocean of virtues. You have conquered my heart and conquered my life by your love. Everyone loves you like their own father. In fact, my name is Upananda, which means the follower of Nanda. And when he said that, the demigods began to shower flowers and flowers and flowers on Nanda Maharaj. And from the higher planets, there were kettle drums playing, and the demigods were crying out, Jai! Jai!
Jai! Jai!
So Nanda Maharaj, in great humility, accepted the crown of the king of the gopas and gopis in Sri Brajbhumi. Under Nanda Maharaja's rule, everyone was blissful. There was such prosperity, internally and externally. However, there was one source of great unhappiness in everyone's hearts. That was that Nanda and Yashoda had no children. Upananda and his younger brothers, they were so concerned about this problem that they decided to perform a great yajna to attract Lord Hari to be pleased to give them a child. But Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai, they didn't take this yajna very seriously. It was too much karma kanda. As a result, nothing happened. Meanwhile, Nanda and Yashoda began to develop this desire to have a child. And it was growing and growing and growing within their hearts. In fact, a great wonder took place. Would you like to hear? Thank you. Nanda Maharaj, one morning, approached Yashoda Mai and told her that I've been having this recurring dream, not only at night, but even in the daytime. Within my heart, I keep seeing this beautiful, beautiful young boy. He has a complexion like a monsoon rain cloud, beautiful lotus eyes. He's so charming. I see him playing. Then he jumps on our laps. And then I see him drinking the milk from your breast. Yashoda Mai said, I'm constantly seeing this same child within my heart also. But I was too shy to tell anyone. Nanda Maharaj was thinking, we are so unfortunate. It appears that we'll never be able to have a child. But for the pleasure of Lord Hari, we should perform the Dwadasi Vrat for one full year. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai performed this Dwadasi Vrat for an entire year. This story is told by Jiva Goswami. The setting of this story is very beautiful. Nanda Maharaj, Krishna and Balaram are herding the cows. They're in Nanda Maharaj's palace, Nanda and Yashoda. And Madhukanta and Snigdhakanta, they entered into Nanda Maharaj's palace. They are very famous Brijavasis because they love to tell stories. How they tell stories! They will speak the stories and they'll become so spontaneously enthused. Sometimes they'll sing, sometimes it will become poetry, sometimes they will make dramatic performances as they're telling the story. Nanda Maharaj asked Madhukanta Snigdhakanta, please tell us a narration. The two brothers replied, what would you like to hear? Nanda Maharaj said, whatever you want to speak, you are wise people, you know what to speak. Speak! Marukanta said, a wise person always obeys the command of his superiors, so we will speak. So this is the story that they were telling. When Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda heard that they actually knew what was in their hearts, how they were seeing this beautiful child, Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda began to offer Snignakanta and Madhukanta jeweled necklaces out of appreciation. How did you know our hearts? They said, we heard all of this from Narada Muni, and whatever he speaks is always the perfect truth. After that 1 year of performing austerities, simultaneously, Lord Narayan appeared in the hearts of both Nanda and Yashoda. He told them, do not be troubled. There is nothing to fear. That beautiful child that you are meditating upon within your heart will become your child. He appears within this world every kalpa and chooses you to be his mother and father because of your spontaneous natural love. Only to increase your love, he will be your baby son. An amsa, or a partial expansion of both of you, were Drona and Dara. You performed great austerities. And by the benediction of Brahma, you were promised that Lord Hari would be your son. So be patient. All of your desires would be fulfilled. When Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai heard this benediction from Lord Narayan, their hearts were rejoicing. At that time, in Mathura, Krishna entered into the core of the heart of Vasudeva. From there, he was transferred into the heart of Devaki. In the same way as the sun's rays are transferred to the rising moon as it comes from the ocean of the eastern horizon. At that time, Vasudeva and Devaki were in the prison of Kamsa. Srimad Bhagavatam describes why they were put in the prison of Kamsa. It's interesting because Kamsa was the son of Ugrasena. And Ugrasena was a very, very great pious king. He had a wife named Padmavati. There was a demon of the name Drumala who actually disguised himself perfectly, just like Ugrasena, because he was attracted to Ugrasena's wife, Padmavati, and actually seduced her to have an affair. And afterwards, she realized, this is not my husband. She asked, who are you? He said, I am the great demon, Drumala. She said, you cheated me. You cheated me. She cursed him. He said, because you are angry with me, I curse you, that the son that I give you, his name will be Kamsa, and he will be a great, great Rakshasa demon. And Padmavati cursed him, that the supreme Purusha will take birth on this earth and kill your son, Kamsa. So Kamsa was very envious. Fearing the death of the eighth child of Devaki Ananda, Devaki and Vasudev, he put them in prison. The seventh child, Shankarshan, Balaram, appeared in the womb of Devaki. Now, and then Krishna appeared in the mind of Devaki and Vasudev. It is explained that Vasudev and Nanda Maharaj were very, very, very best of friends. So much so that they could not tolerate separation from each other. So because Vasudev was in prison, he sent Rohini to take shelter under the care of Nanda Maharaj here in Mahavan. Rohini was 3 months pregnant at that time. When she came here, Nanda Maharaj accepted her. And Yashoda and Rohini, they were like the Ganga and Jamuna meeting together. So dear and loving they were as friends. In the seventh month of the pregnancy of Rohini, at midnight, she had a dream. In her dream, she had a miscarriage. And she was very much alarmed. And she woke up, and it actually happened. There was no child in her womb. Then Yogamaya spoke to her and said, "The child in the womb of Devaki will be transferred into your womb." And that was Lord Balaram. So, full moon night of the month of Magh, Nanda Maharaj had a vision, and simultaneously Yashodamai did as well while they were sleeping. In that vision, there was a beautiful boy, the same boy that they would dream of. And he was standing behind a beautiful girl. And both of them entered into the heart of Nanda Maharaj. Then they were transferred into the heart of Yashodamai. The little boy stayed in the heart, and the girl moved into Devaki's womb. From that time, Yashodamai became pregnant, and her body began to grow. Seeing this, all the Vrijavasis were dancing in joy. It was the fulfillment of all their desires. Nanda and Yashoda will have a child. Jiva Goswami explains how on the night that we celebrate Janamastami, Vasudev and Devaki in the prison house of Mathura had given birth to the forearm form of Lord Narayan. He appeared from outside of their womb. They worshipped him. Simultaneously, here in Mahavan, both Yogamaya and Krishna appeared as twin brother and sister here in Mahavan. Now, Yogamaya's power was so great that Yashodamai didn't know what was happening. She couldn't understand she was even having the children. Meanwhile, in Mathura, Devaki was praying to forearm Narayan that if Kamsa sees you like this, he will certainly try to kill you. So please disguise yourself like an ordinary child. Then Yogamaya, the same way she transferred Balaram from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini, through a transcendental wind, she actually brought the original two-armed form of Krishna that was born here in Mahavan to merge with the four-armed form. Actually, the four-armed form of Narayan merged into the two-armed form of Krishna. And Krishna's instruction, the shackles and the prison bars and doors were opened, and everyone fell asleep in the palace, in the prison house of Kamsa. It was then that Vasudeva brought child Krishna. And when he came to the Jamuna, there was torrential rains. But Anantashesha came to be an umbrella, and Jamuna parted her ways. And little baby Krishna, he actually arranged to fall out of the arms of Vasudeva, Srila Prabhupada explains, just because he knew how much Jamuna was longing to embrace him. And from that moment, Jamuna became 100 times as powerful as the Ganga in purifying all living beings. Meanwhile, Yogamaya, little baby girl, was laying next to Yashodamayi. And Vasudeva put Krishna in his place and took him back to Mathura. When Kamsa heard that a child was crying, he immediately came down to kill it. Devaki was pleading, please don't, it's a baby girl. It's supposed to be a son that kills you. You've already killed 6 of my children. Let me at least have this one child. You are my brother. But Kamsa was so cruel-hearted, so egoistic, he grabbed that little baby girl out of Devaki's hands and went to dash her to death against a rock. But she slipped out of his hands and in the sky manifested her form of Durga Devi with 8 arms, each holding a weapon. And she told Kamsa that you are a great fool. The child that is meant to kill you has already been born elsewhere. Then she disappeared. Meanwhile, here in Gokul, when morning came, the baby began to cry. And Yashodamai woke up, and she saw this beautiful object of supreme attraction in her arms. When she looked in his face, when she looked into his beautiful lotus-like eyes, he was so soft, the very essence of all sweetness. Tears of ecstatic love were flowing incessantly from her eyes as she embraced the child to her face, to her breasts. Then the other gopis came in, and when they saw this beautiful, beautiful child, they were rejoicing. Rohini, who had already been given birth to Balaramji, she was jubilant. She sent one gopi maidservant to inform Nanda Maharaj that his son had been born. This was early in the morning, And all the gopas were then milking the cows, probably right here where we're sitting. And this maidservant, she was trembling, her hairs were standing on end. Meanwhile, all the cows were being milked. It went Upananda, Nanda, Abhinanda, Nandan, Sunandan, and Nandan, and all the other gopas, when they saw this lady, she couldn't even speak. She was in so much ecstasy, she was speechless. They immediately understood that Nanda Maharaja's child has been born. Somehow or other, she finally told him. And when that news came, Nanda Maharaj and the Upananda, they, whatever cows were being milked, or whatever, which was thousands, they were all given as a gift to her for carrying this good news. Nanda Maharaj rushed to his palace and took his bath and put on nice clothes and started as quickly as he possibly could running to the place where Yashoda Mai was with the new child. But he was so stunned in ecstatic love that he couldn't even move. He would just get stunned. He didn't even know how he was moving, but somehow or other he was brought to that place. And Yashoda Mai had baby Krishna put into the arms of Nanda Maharaj. Such a celebration. The whole of Braj Bhumi was rejoicing. It was like rivers of gopis and gopas coming to see the newborn child of Nanda Maharaj. This is Nandotsava, greatest festival of Braj Bhumi, the appearance of Lord Krishna. They performed the jati karma, the various rituals. And when it was time to cut the umbilical cord, the priest couldn't find one. But they were so much rejoicing, they just didn't even consider this was a very important thing. They had, the whole of Vrindavan came together. They had Abhishekam. And there was dancing and singing. They decorated all the hundreds and thousands of cows with jewels and beautiful colors. Everyone dressed in their very, very, very best clothing. Even Rohini. It is the etiquette that when the husband is away, the woman is not supposed to dress so nicely. But this occasion was very special. The original Supreme Personality of Godhead had appeared as the son of Nanda and Yashoda, so Rohini Devi put on beautiful, costly garments and ornaments. During the Abhishek of baby Krishna, everyone was simply gazing upon his beautiful form. From that very moment, every mother and father in all of Gokul loved Gopal as their own child. If they had children, they loved Krishna more than their own children. He became the very life and soul of everyone. So much beautiful decoration, so much beautiful festivities. Nanda Maharaj was so wealthy, he was giving away hundreds and thousands of cows in charity to celebrate this event. He gave away 7 hills of grains to the Brahmins, each about 320 kilos. Each mountain of grains was covered with beautiful, costly jewels. There was such immense wealth of butter and yogurt and ghee They were lovingly splashing it on each other, dancing and singing. It was on this day of Nandotsav, the celebration of Krishna's appearance in this world, that Krishna sent his most intimate associate, his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, into this world. Srila Prabhupada born on Nandotsav. What was his purpose? To induce the whole world to celebrate Krishna by chanting the holy name. After the Nandotsav ceremony, Krishna and Balaram were little tiny infant children. And Nanda Maharaj was called at that time, just after Krishna's appearance, to go to Mathura to pay taxes to Kamsa. Now Kamsa was so fearful, because Narada Muni told him that demigods were taking birth in this world, and Yogamaya, she told that the child that was meant to kill you has already been born. So Kamsa was calling all of his demon associates to protect him. He called for Putana. Putana was a Kethari witch. She was, Kethari means a witch that can actually fly on uprooted branches. A witch that has terrible mystic powers. She could assume any form she wanted. She was so demoniac that she was traveling all around taking infant babies, killing them, drinking their blood, and eating their flesh. Very wicked. She disguised herself as such a beautiful heavenly lady. She came right here to Mahavan. And when the gopis saw her, they were thinking, she looks like she's descended from the heavenly planets. Or maybe she's Lakshmi Devi herself. She's so beautiful, so charming. So nobody prevented her from walking right into the house. And she came right up to infant little baby Krishna, who was only days old at that time. Little baby Krishna looked at her and closed his eyes, because he knew that she was coming to kill him. She was a woman in the role of a mother, coming to destroy him. And when she looked at Krishna, although he was so sweet and so charming, so innocent, appearing so helpless, within her mind she could understand that this child is the killer of all the race of demons. She was like a sharp, deadly sword in a very, very beautiful velvet decorated casing. She had smeared her breast with a deadly poison. The Acharyas explain that Krishna closed his eyes because in this lila, in this incarnation, the first demon he's going to kill is a female, a woman, who's actually coming as his mother. She picked up Krishna, and everyone was so pleased. They were actually thinking she was going to bless the child. She did not know that, mistaken as a rope, she was putting a snake on her lap. She pushed her deadly, poison-soaked breast right into Krishna's mouth. Little Gopal began to suck her breast. Then he squeezed it with his little hands. His fingers were softer than the leaves, the new leaves of a tamal tree. He squeezed. And that squeezing brought so much pain to Putana. Then he started with his legs, he started kicking her. He was really punishing her, severely. Squeezing, kicking, and sucking. She was in such crucial agony. She was screaming, "Child, leave me, child, leave me." She was trying to pull him out of her breast, but he was just sucking, squeezing and kicking. And she was in so much misery. She ran outside the house, ran into the pasture grounds, assumed her original form, which was 12 miles high. And with all of her strength, she was just taking this little child who was like this big in comparison, and she couldn't get him off her breast. He sucked and he sucked. First he sucked all her milk out, then he sucked out the poison, then he sucked her very life force. Putana was screaming. She was screaming to such an extent that the entire earth was shaking like an earthquake. There was violent sounds. Then she fell to the ground dead. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki. This 12-mile form of dead witch Putana was quite a sight to be seen. Her teeth were like plowed roads. Her nostrils were like gigantic caves. Her breasts were like hills. Her eyes like blind wells. Her thighs were like the banks of a river. Her arms and legs were like bridges. Her abdomen was like a dry lake. And child Krishna was just blissfully playing on her breast. And the gopis ran up to the scene, so much worried for Krishna's welfare, and they brought Krishna down and placed him in the arms of Yashoda Mai. Yashoda Mai was so much worried that Krishna was safe, so she gave him her breast milk, and Krishna sucked very nicely. And this is considered an auspicious omen when the child sucks the milk from the mother very enthusiastically. Soon after this, Nanda Maharaj returns. Because Nanda Maharaj met Vasudev in Mathura. And Vasudev said, "You should go back quick, because there may be some danger." So on the way back, Nanda Maharaj sees this 12-mile-long Kachari witch just laying in the pasture fields. And the Brijavasis told him exactly what happened. So they chopped up the body of Putana and burned it. And it smelled like the sweetest, most fragrant incense, because it had been touched by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nanda Maharaj embraced Krishna and smelled his head. Because Putana, even though she had demoniac motivations, she offered her breast to Krishna in the spirit of a mother. Now when Krishna tortured her by his squeezing and kicking and by sucking out her life, first what he did is he completely purified her. So at the time, at the actual moment of her death, she had such a pure heart that she died in motherly love for Krishna. Therefore, immediately after dying, by the mercy of Lord Krishna, he transferred Putana to the spiritual world to be Krishna's eternal mother. Meaning she was one of the personal nurses of Mother Yashoda to love Krishna as her own child. This is a great wonder. In Srimad Bhagavatam it is declared by Uddhava that what Lord, what incarnation, what aspect of the Absolute Truth is so merciful as Krishna? Putana came with the envious demoniac intention to murder Krishna when he was only days old. But Krishna only saw the good in her, ultimately, and awarded her the position of his own mother eternally in the spiritual world. In the Garga Samhita it declares that Putana in her previous birth was Ratnamala. She was the daughter of Valu Maharaj. When Lord Vamanadev came to beg 3 steps of land to Bali, Ratnamala was so attracted to this little dwarf child, she actually developed such motherly love for him. She wanted to feed him milk from her breast. She wanted to love him as her own child. But then Vamanadev expanded his body into Trivikram, where he covered the entire universe in 2 steps and left Bali Maharaj bereft of everything. So Ratnamala became then very, very antagonistic and disturbed. So she simultaneously loved Krishna, loved Vamanadeva as a mother, and was very, very much aggrieved and disturbed that he had cheated her father in this way. So she took her next birth as Putana. Thakur Bhaktivinod explains that Putana represents the false guru. One of the very great obstacles in the path of pure devotional service. Our acharyas again and again warn us that we should only hear from those who will actually increase our faith in Guru Parampara. Lord Chaitanya said, Mayavadi Basya Sunile Sarva Hoy Nasha. That if you hear from Mayavadis, your spiritual life may be doomed. There are people who speak Hari Katha, Srimad Bhagavatam Katha, Ramayan Katha, but they do not accept that Krishna is the eternal Supreme Personality of Godhead, that devotion is eternal, that the constitutional position of the living entity is to serve Krishna with love forever. They think that the name, the form, the qualities, the pastimes of the Lord are temporary manifestations of the Absolute Truth in the mode of goodness. And by worshipping Him, we can actually transcend the modes of material nature and then enter into the all-pervading impersonal Brahman. Ultimately, Krishna's mind, Krishna's form, Krishna's personality, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's names, they are Maya. They are illusory. Therefore, they are called Maya bodies. Also, sometimes there are spiritual masters, at least those who present themselves as such, who have materialistic motivations, who want our money, who want fame, prestige, who are not teaching the proper Siddhanta. What does Sanatana Goswami say about such persons? That when they speak about Krishna, it is like milk touched by the lips of a serpent. It will have poisonous effects. Very dangerous. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to teach us what really is the essence of Guru Parampara. He never claimed to be something or someone that's very great. He would say, my only qualification is I am simply repeating the words of my spiritual master without adding or subtracting anything. One time a newspaper reporter asked him, are you a pure devotee? Prabhupada said, I may be pure. He said, I may or may not be. But because I'm specifically speaking only what has been handed down in disciplic succession, everything I speak is pure. And if you hear it and follow it, you will become pure and perfect. They asked Prabhupada, are you perfect? And Prabhupada said, I may or may not be perfect. But everything I speak is perfect, and anyone who hears it is perfect, because I am simply repeating the words of the Acharyas. Evam parampara. Krishna explains, we must hear this knowledge through disciplic succession. But the pseudo-guru, the false guru, is like Putana. She's giving us knowledge. He's giving us knowledge that appears to be milk to nourish us spiritually, but actually it is filled with the poison of their misconceptions. Therefore, we must be very cautious, very aware, and pray to Krishna to save us from the putanas of this world. When Krishna was 3 months old here in Mahabhan, Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj performed the wonderful celebration called Uttana. That is when the child first begins to get up and slant his body. That brings so much joy to everyone. So they performed Abhishek for Krishna. And so many wonderful, wonderful charity given to the Brahmins. And there was dancing and there was singing. It was a joyous festival. Srila Prabhupada explains the beauty of Vedic culture. That having a child is not a burden. having a child is a joy. Every aspect of change as the child is growing older, there is a celebration. This is to what extent people love their children and were jubilant as they grew. So during this wonderful festival of Uttana, Krishna became very sleepy. So Yasoda Mai, always thinking of pleasing Krishna, she took Krishna into her bed and lay down with Krishna until Krishna fell asleep. The reason is a child sleeps, little baby child sleeps best if he feels that he's under the protection of his beloved mother. After he was sound asleep, Yasoda Mai placed little Gopal under a hand-driven cart, and she went to take care of all of the guests. Now little Gopal, he woke up and was hungry for the milk of Mother Yashoda. So he began to cry. And then, with his tiny little lotus foot, he kicked it and happened to touch the wheel of the cart. The whole cart, the wheel separated from the axle. Everything broke to pieces. The cart fell down, making tumultuous sound as all the utensils on top of the cart came tumbling down to the ground. It was a demon named Shakatasura who actually was a ghost, and he appeared within that cart to kill Krishna. Now, this is the supreme opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. He didn't even have to exert himself. When Vamana Dev wanted to reach his foot to conquer Bali Maharaj, he went through a lot of effort. He expanded himself to a massive size. When Narasimha Dev wanted to protect Prahlad, he went through great effort. He appeared as Hiranyakashipu to kill this demon. But Krishna, he is the original, supreme source of all avatars. Even though Shakatasura was such a powerful demon, like tens and thousands of elephants, he had strength. Little Gopal just effortlessly just moved his foot and killed him. When all these pots and pans came crashing down, Yashoda, Nanda, and the Brijabasis came running to the scene. And little Gopal was in the middle of this whole mess, smiling. Only 3 months old. What happened? What happened? The little children of Vrindavan, they told Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd man that we saw little Gopal. He was crying. He wanted the milk of his mother, and he just kicked his little tiny foot, and the whole car came tumbling down. Nanda Maharaj was thinking, how can we believe these small children? That is not possible. It is a great wonder, but we cannot believe them. Krishna was crying, and Yashoda Mai picked him up and fed him the breast from her milk. And in order to protect Krishna from further calamities, Nanda Maharaj, who trusted the Brahmins, is very truthful, had them perform yajnas, chant mantras, and he gave them great charity. Srila Prabhupada explains, this is very important. The Brahmins were so perfect in behavior. They were so truthful that Nanda Maharaj had complete trust in them. the downfall of Vedic civilization really takes place when people lose their faith, lose their trust in the integrity of their spiritual leaders. Our spiritual lives is very much based on faith and trust. Srila Prabhupada was very concerned in this subject. It is a most important responsibility that any devotee who is representing our parampara, especially anyone who's taking any type of responsibility of leadership, to live with such transparency, such integrity, in such an exemplary way that people naturally trust them. That trust, that faith, is the basic foundation of a spiritual society. Nanda Maharaj gave so much wonderful gifts of charity, of love, and affection to the Brahmins. According to Garga Samhita, Shakatakchura was Utkacha. He was the son of Hiranyaksha. He broke trees in the garden of Lomasa Muni. And Lomasa Muni was so angry with this egoistic rascal breaking his trees that he cursed him to become a ghost without a physical body. And then he fell at his feet and begged forgiveness. And he said, but there is a benediction that you will be killed by the lotus foot of Krishna and you will be liberated. At the end of the Chakshusha Manvantara, at the time of Vaivaswatmanu. Shakatasura represents the mentality of carrying old and new bad habits. This is an anarta that is in the heart of all conditioned souls. We have so many conditionings. Conditionings from past experiences and desires. Bad habits. What we like to hear, what we like to see, what we like to taste, what we like to think about, what we like to do for enjoyment, what we like to do for shelter. All of these old bad habits, as well as new bad habits, are like a massive, heavy burden. And they will cause us to come crashing down spiritually if we are not very careful to give them up. Srila Prabhupada taught us how to somehow or other break through our bad habits of the past and present. We must replace them with new good habits. It is said that the idle mind is the devil's workshop. Because as soon as the mind is idle, then all of our previous conditionings, desires, aspirations, fears, and egos just start coming to the surface of our consciousness. Therefore, we must keep our minds very busy for Krishna. And because our minds are so much attached to our bodies must be very busy for Krishna. When Srila Prabhupada established ISKCON, in his temples, He arranged it. So you're always busy. Yes, Vishnu Gadat Prabhu? Do you remember those days? There was not even a moment when you weren't busy. There was no time to think of anything else except serving Krishna. We'd rise by around 3:30 in the morning, immediately take bath, into the temple, chanting japa, mangalarti, tulsi worship, guru puja, or then japa, then guru puja, then Srimad Bhagavatam, then there's class, then you're right out right after breakfast prasad. You're either cooking in the kitchen. Today we have a very special guest. Very special guest. I have been praying that he would come and join us for many years. Vishnu Gada Prabhu. Back in the early and mid-70s, the most powerful temple of preaching in the whole Western world was New York City. He was head cook in the kitchen, nourishing the book distributors, nourishing the Harinam parties, nourishing the pujaris, nourishing the entire temple with the most wonderful prasad, cooked with such pure devotion offered to Radha Govindaji.